Dear listeners, welcome to our second captivating episode of our podcast series entitled Beyond Boundaries, Exploring Inequality and Freedom in the Global South. My name is Vanessa Badisch. I'm the moderator of today's episode. I'm a political scientist by training, focusing on international cooperation, cultural politics, and global inequalities. We are privileged to have a distinguished guest with us today, Asma Hilali, a prominent scholar in the field of Islamic studies. Welcome, Asma. How are you today?
Hi, Vanessa. I'm very well. Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me to this podcast.
We are very happy to have you with us today. Thank you for joining us. So, coordinated by the Marian Center of Advanced Studies in the Maghreb, MECAM, in Tunisia, and our Marian Center family, Colors in Mexico, ICASMP in India, MESILA in Brazil, and MIASA in Ghana, we are on a mission to explore the intriguing intersection of inequality and freedom in the context of the Global South. We are here to challenge the status quo as part of the German Year of Science, Deutsches Wissenschaftsjahr 2024, focusing on freedom. By uncovering historical legacies and their effects on society, we are working towards a fairer future in the Global South. Join us on this journey as we delve into the complexities of inequality and freedom, striving for a brighter and more equitable future together. In today's episode, we will be moving to Tunisia and its capital, Tunis, where the Marian Center of Advanced Studies in the Maghreb, MECAM, is located. Funded by the German Federal Ministry of Education and Research, BMBF, is a platform for regional and international scientific exchange in Tunisia, centered on the theme Imagining Futures Dealing with Disparity. Located at the Université de Tunis, Tunisia's biggest state university, MECAM's research explores the impact of multidimensional disparity on future models, visions, and ideas. Its research agenda includes aesthetics and cultural practice, inequality and mobility, memory and justice, resources and sustainability, and identities and beliefs. MECAM is a collaborative effort by a consortium of six Tunisian and German research institutions, coordinated by Philipps Universität Marburg and Université de Tunis, with support from Universität Leipzig, the German Institute for Global and Area Studies, GIGA, in Hamburg, the Forum Transnationale Studien in Berlin, and Université de Sfax. Today's episode explores how paratexts in Islamic manuscripts, such as marginal notes by scribes and readers, provide new insights on the formation, transformation, and development of Islamic religious tradition. It examines how these paratexts reveal aspects of freedom and inequality in the dissemination and interpretation of knowledge within the Islamic scholarly culture. I will now shortly present our distinguished guest, Asma Hilali. Associate Professor Asma Hilali was a fellow at MECAM from September 2023 to April 2024 and is a maître de conférence in Islamic studies at the Université de Lille, where she works in the Department of Roman, Slavic and Oriental Studies. She earned her PhD in 2004 from the École pratique des hautes études, specializing in the authenticity of prophetic tradition. Previously, she worked as a research fellow at the Institute of Ismaili Studies in London and as a lecturer at the Université of Fribourg. Welcome, Asma, to our podcast. Before we dive into your research, I prepared a small challenge for you. To give our listeners a first orientation about you and your topic, I will give you the beginning of three sentences and I will kindly ask you to complete these sentences. Are you ready to start with the first one?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, so firstly, Currently, I'm researching.
Paratexts, that means annotations, marginal notes, interlinear notes within manuscripts of religious identity, religious literature in Islamic tradition, precisely. And I'm working on a manuscript from Chester Beatty Library in Dublin, and I'm trying to reconstruct how these annotations lead the reader to a specific subject and specific topics, mainly the religious literature.
Okay. Secondly, freedom in my scholarly exploration means?
Freedom means, in my field, accessing knowledge, accessing manuscripts, accessing training in methodology, in historical studies, in religious studies, and the absence of any obstacles except intellectual honesty.
Okay, thank you, Asma. And so, lastly, in the context of my work, inequality is?
I often met inequality in my field in the difference of capacities of different countries in conservation and preservation of manuscripts. Wealthy and poor countries do not have the same capacities to protect their heritage. And I have to say that colonization played an important role in this aspect, in the distribution of manuscripts, of heritage of colonized countries in the world. These manuscripts have been often looted, and this makes it difficult to find out from where they come, where they have been produced, and this is a big difficulty for scholars, and it's mainly due to this inequalities between the capacities of dealing with heritage in general in different countries.
Thank you for setting the stage, Asma. Now let's transition to the heart of today's discussion, your research. Would you mind sharing a detailed overview of your current research topic, especially focusing on how it relates to the episode's focus on discovering Islam in its margins, manuscript paratexts, and the elaboration of Islam's scholastic tradition?
Islamic religious literary genre play an important role in building the architecture of the Muslim civilization in the past and in the present. Until now, scholars who studied the religious literature often relied on the way this literature has been described in the classical Islam, in the medieval Islam. In my work, I try to reconstruct the very definition of what is a religious genre in Islam. And to do that, I use this very technical element, which is the paratext. I try through the study of the paratext, that means the annotations, the title, the illumination in the specific manuscripts, how these elements contribute to define the nature of the manuscript. Is it religious or not? This is my way to rediscover and to rewrite the history of religious literature in Islam. My work is based mainly on manuscripts, but I use, of course, edited texts, edited sources, mainly to compare the way Muslim scholars, mainly in 11th century, how they built a theoretical framework in order to define what is religious, what is not. And I compare these definitions with my own work on manuscripts, considering that manuscripts is the support where the text is somehow raw, is in its first stage of transmission. This is why it's important to use manuscripts in order to understand history of texts in all religious traditions, not only in Islamic tradition.
Your presentation was truly insightful. I have prepared three focused questions to highlight different aspects of your presentation. I will ask them all at once, and then I will kindly request you to address each aspect in your response. What new insights into Islamic scholarship can we gain from the analysis of paratexts discovered in the past 20 years? What do these marginal notes reveal about the dynamics of freedom and inequality in Islamic scholarship? What specific functions do these paratexts serve in manuscripts, and how do they contribute to the formation, transformation, and development of Islamic religious tradition? Additionally, what do they tell us about the distribution of knowledge and power structures within Islamic scholarly culture?
Okay, thank you very much. These are very sophisticated questions, and good that you are not reviewing my book. So, what new insights into Islamic scholarship can we gain from the analysis of paratexts discovered in the past 20 years? The most important element I try to bring into the field is to switch the focus from the origins, looking at the origins of religious literature like Quran and prophetic traditions in Arabic hadith, to the way these texts are developed, the way they have been dealt with among the readers, among different kind of readers, and these readers contribute somehow to the text through the paratext. By adding notes, writing comments, writing interpretation in the margins, the text is unfolded somehow to society. And this is the new element I bring out in the study of the religious literature. What does these marginal notes reveal about the dynamics of freedom and inequality in Islamic scholarship? These marginal notes reveal a very important fact, a historical fact, consisting on the opening of the text to different kinds of users, I would say, transmitters or readers. Scholarship in Islamic studies mainly focus on official ceremonial form of religious literature. For example, when we study Quran, we study the Quranic text, we study codices, official codices, beautiful, with ornamentation, those books that have been dedicated to be deposited in mosques, offered to governors. But this is the history of the religious literature is not only the official forms of religious texts. It's also drafts, school books, of personal notes, personal version of the Quran, for example. We have more fragments of religious literature than books and codices and beautiful texts. And again, this is also this aspect in the field, the focus on official versions is also the result of what we call a very short way, Orientalism. The Orientalism of 19th century, 20th century Orientalism, when the colonial countries discovered this word Orient, or the Orient presented as exotic, mysterious, etc. These Orientalists were more interested by the beautiful objects, the attractive artifacts, and this impacted a lot the field of Islamic studies. My aim by studying the paratexts in manuscripts, mainly in religious manuscripts, is to switch the focus to what really was important to everyone in the Muslim society, was not necessarily what we knew through the Orientalistic studies. And now I get into your last questions. The specific functions of the paratext is to show that religion is made religious texts, and religion is made is the product of the contribution of the believers to the religious objects. As says my favorite anthropologist of religion, Mircea Eliade, he says that the human creates the sacred, the human being creates the religion. And using, including the paratext in the study of religious phenomenon in general and religious texts in particular, shows how a human being, how the all actors of the society, students, children, women, masters, scholars, all these people could at some point annotate a manuscript. You know, when we study manuscript, a paratext in a manuscript, we don't really sometimes, many times, we don't really know who is writing this. Sometimes we don't even understand what is written. And sometimes we have, for example, a biography, very personal notes about a biography in the margin of a Quranic text, and we don't know who wrote it. Because a human being is free in his relationship to religion, to the opposite of what we might think. And this is the function of the paratext, is to make religion and religious literature the possession of everyone. And this is how it works in history. This also explains why religion is important, because it is created and recreated, reshaped every day through the intervention of human being. And this is what fascinates me particularly in this in my research.
Yeah, thank you, Asma, for sharing your fascination with us. I think I also now understand a little bit about the fascination of paratexts, which is actually bringing alive maybe also his archive material and so on. I think also the relation with colonialism and the uncovering now of paratexts is very interesting, and I was not aware of this until now. So thank you for sharing all these aspects. As we near the conclusion of today's episode, dear Asma, could you please condense your ideas into a brief takeaway message for our audience?
So a message would be related to paratexts, of course. Yes. According to my own research.
Exactly. Just to give a small sum, the idea is just to take this takeaway message of what you have been presenting now, just two or three sentences. So the idea is just that when you listen to the podcast, and there are a lot of information, and it's a complex matter, just to sum it up in two or three sentences, so yes, people can really feel like, okay, we have understood, and we can take this away. This was the most important.
Okay. So my conclusion would be that the most intriguing aspect in every religious tradition is the question of its continuity. We often ask ourselves why it still exists, and what is the reason, what is the mystery behind faith? What is it to believe? And actually, the answer to this question, in my view, lies in the contribution of the people, everybody, in the production of a religion. And the working of the paratext in religious manuscripts shows how everyone could take part in writing, rewriting, recasting, reshaping a religious literature. And this is what my study shows.
Okay. Big thanks to Asma Hilali, Associate Professor of Islamic Studies at the Université de Lille, for sharing such valuable insights in the context of today's podcast. It's been a real eye-opener discussing paratexts in Islamic manuscripts and its implication on freedom and inequality with you. To our listeners out there, many thanks for turning in. Your involvement means a lot to us. Keep an eye out for our next episodes. We will be diving into more fascinating conversations with top scholars in the social sciences and humanities. Who knows what we'll uncover next? Until then, take care.